Welcome to the Steelers by the Lake podcast. My name's James, joined once again by my co-host, Cody. Cody, how are you today?
I am great, man. A little tired, had a long weekend, busy week going on, but I'm great, man. How are you?
Man, my week has been as long as the Steelers week, trust me. Just, they got to figure something out here, man.
Yeah, rough week five for us coming to Pittsburgh. Stay at home against the 2-2 Baltimore Ravens. Had the opportunity to take a leap in our division, take a big hit, kind of catch up to the Baltimore Ravens and the Cleveland Browns had they lost on Monday, which they did. So that was great for us, but we couldn't get the job done at home.
Yeah, really needed to see something from them in this game. Close again. Before the game, kind of a shocking move. Not a marquee move by any means, but Xavier Grimble, who had been moved to the injured reserve previously, actually reached a injury settlement. Kind of a rare thing for a mid-season move. Kind of says to me that Pittsburgh decided enough was enough, failed experiment. They're moving on from him. Don't expect to see him back next year.
Yeah, I think after they saw the last week against the Bengals with Nick Vannette coming in and playing well like he did, I think that was the point where they were like, all right, Grimble's an old wheel that we keep trying to use, and it's just not turning for us. So let him go, move on with what you have now, and make it work. And Vannette showed up and played well, so I'm okay with that move. Again, a shocker for middle of the season kind of deal, but I have no issues with it.
Yeah, me either in the long of things. Honestly, you needed to see a lot more from Grimble by now. He's been on the team long enough. He was restricted free agent this last year, which means they had to tender him at a high dollar amount to retain him. So he was getting paid $3 million this year, and it was a move that they had no choice but to make because of the loss of Jesse James. So you had to secure somebody with some experience that you knew could block as the number two tight end. They did so, but now that Vannette's on the team, it's pretty easy to see pretty quickly he's a much better talent. So, yeah, it's a good move. That way you still have Gentry getting some playing time. Hopefully he can develop as well, get a little depth going on, get back to where maybe you can have some effective two tight end sets on this team.
Absolutely. And like we've discussed before so many times with Gentry, all he's missing is the strength and the ability to block. He gets that strength up, and he's going to be an amazing all-around tight end that we can use in any down situation. So super excited for that. He can obviously catch. We saw that all preseason long. What else do we have? Anything else before game?
No? None pregame, no.
Awesome. So let's dive right into this. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Here we go. We couldn't do anything really to stop Lamar Jackson from running all over us. We did sack him a couple times. We'll get to that. But when he got out of the pocket, he was kind of a freelance doing his own thing.
It was a nightmare watching the first couple drives and watching him scramble. They really did a pretty good job containing the rest of the running game, but he's just very slippery, very quick, and it's difficult to get a guy like that down to the ground. So I kind of smoked him pretty badly the first few drives scrambling.
Yeah, held Melvin Gordon over the entire game to a 2.3 average on 19 carries. That's not bad. Like we discussed, he's been running all over the league up until now.
Melvin Ingram?
Ingram. I said Melvin Gordon. I'm already looking ahead to next week. I apologize.
We're recording late, folks. You're going to have to excuse
very late.
Us.
Hey, I would love to hold Melvin Gordon to 2.3 average.
Let's pray they do.
That would be amazing. Austin Eckler is well in there, but couldn't stop him on third down the first drive they were on. They got a 3rd and 8 to tight end. Nobody was guarding the line of scrimmage on this play. I don't understand what the play call is or how the players play it like this. But as soon as the ball is snapped on a 3rd and 8, everyone's behind the first down marker.
Yeah, one note I had from this, it looked like Cam Kelly was in bail technique. He was the closest man in coverage at the time, and he just turned and burned on the play. He turned and got back to the play. Obviously, it was too late. That's just situational awareness. He'll get better at that as the season goes on. Had he really understood where he was at, you know, you can bail, but get yourself around the sticks, make him work past you on the sticks. You had safety help on that side. So I think that's just a little bit of a mental mistake there.
Yep, same drive, big 3rd and 7. We get Lamar Jackson a little uncomfortable, throws an incomplete pass. I loved it. Steven Nelson played phenomenally.
Yeah, and on that particular play, we had Cam Sutton breaking right. up in the
end
zone.
It was Cam Sutton.
Cam Sutton is shown pretty well in his coverage skills so far this year. They seem to be playing him on predominantly heavily passing situation. So if it's like third and long, they know it's extremely likely to be a pass. He seems to be coming in to cover the slot receivers and doing a pretty good job at it.
Yeah, which you discussed Cam Sutton very early on in preseason, and we are not upset by any means at what we're getting from him as a third, fourth string cornerback, third string right now. But he's been bouncing around all over the place, and he's making plays.
Yeah, I got to love what I've seen from him so far. So Pittsburgh gets the ball, and here comes the Wildcat, and in the worst possible way, Jalen Samuels kind of panics, throws it over James Washington's head, straight into the arms of the defender, and Baltimore's got the ball at the 15-yard line. Perfect nightmare of how you can start your first drive.
Yeah, not the way we wanted to start against a division rival with the opportunity that we had to take some control in the AFC North. But we hold them to a 2nd and 3. We get a big opportunity. Lamar Jackson has probably one of the dirtiest and most disrespectful stiff arms I've ever seen on TJ Watt. And then we have Stephon Tuitt come rolling in with a 15-yard penalty, but an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty that put them half the distance to the goal with an automatic first down.
Can't give him free plays like that. There was nothing happening on it. He was out of bounds. I know it wasn't way out of bounds. It wasn't a really hard hit or anything. Doesn't have to be. Can't hit him when he's out of bounds already.
Nope. So on a 2nd and 3, after they got the redo of downs, basically with the first down, they get a touchdown with Mark Ingram. Not Mark or Melvin Gordon, whoever I said earlier. but Mark Ingram couldn't stop him at first on the first few plays. He had some good rushes, and then we just shut him down. So I'm totally fine with that. Our next drive, Mason Rudolph on a 2nd and 5. Beautiful pass to James Washington, finally getting his college teammate involved. Up until this point, he only had 6 receptions with 88 yards in the season. That was terribly unfortunate because we were very excited to see what he's going to do. So now our only hope is that he continues to perform the way he was. Unfortunately, he did get injured in this game, but we'll discuss that later on. James Conner's running hard, man.
Yeah, it seems like he's doing a little bit better every week. Which is exactly what you're hoping to see. I mean, all of us would have loved to have seen him start the season on fire, 5-6 yards a carry. But his average is going up every single week, a little more productive every week. He's doing good at finding the holes, shaking people off. He's getting positive yards, and his blitz pickup is just as good as ever.
Absolutely. On a 1st and 10, beautiful blitz pickup that Marlon Humphrey tried to strip the ball from Juju, and Juju said, "No way, sir," and scrambled on in the end zone for a Pittsburgh touchdown. At this point, we made it 7-10 because Mr. Boz for President made the extra point. He is perfect on the year.
They really made a concerted effort to get Juju more involved in this game, which is a smart move. He's the best player on the offense. Get him the ball, and he makes things happen. Touchdown early in the game. It's a great move.
Yep. So Baltimore gets the ball back on a 2nd and 10. I don't know if somebody got turned around. It looked like Mark Barron did, but somebody caught the ball over the middle. I'm not sure exactly what player it is, but nobody is within 5 or 6 yards of him, and he scrambles on over for what could have been a first down, but he tried to do some crazy juke move and got tackled still behind the first down mark.
Yeah, nice tackle by Devin Bush there. He never gave up on the play, and when the man made a move to try to get more yards, he lost it. So nice job there by Devin Bush.
Absolutely. On a big 3rd and 2, they gave it right to, I don't know who the running back was on this play, but nice first down run for Baltimore, unfortunately. We got him to a 2nd and 7, and of course they hit the tight end over the middle for a first down. Could have fumbled it, could have gone for the ball there possibly, but they made the stop after the first down, so I'll take it.
Yeah, and Barron was in coverage on that one, just a step behind him. Kind of sums up his season this far.
Yep, unfortunately not getting the productivity out of him that we thought we were going to get, but there's hope. We'll see what happens with the rest of the year. But moving on, we got Ravens at a 3rd and 9. Lamar Jackson steps back, fires a bullet to the tight end Andrews, who hurdles over somebody and then just gets pushed around and dropped down at the 11-yard line.
Yeah, it was a really, really good move on his part. I'll give him credit. You see a safety coming in, he's going to go low because he got him outweighed by 60 pounds. So he jumped over top of him. Nice play there.
Yep. 2nd and 10 inside the red zone from the 11. Lamar Jackson, beautiful pass. Joe Hayden tried to do something, like tried to make a big hit to get the ball jarred out. Unfortunately, just couldn't do enough in that scenario. It was a perfectly placed ball. Not Joe Hayden's fault. No one was really out of position on this play. Just
might be Lamar's best throw of the entire game.
It very, very well might have been.
He really hit him right in the money. Nice tight spiral. Hayden had good coverage, but it was a position thing, kind of like boxing out when you're under the hoop in basketball. He used his body positioning and made the catch.
Yep, so Pittsburgh's down 17-7 at this point, roughly 10 minutes left in the second quarter. On a big third and four play, these are the plays that, when we run correctly, they're amazing. Jalen Samuels comes out of the backfield running to the left. Mason Rudolph throws a perfect pass, leading him perfectly to where he doesn't have to lose any momentum going forward, and he gains the first down and then some. Something we just haven't seen consistently out of this year's quarterback crew or the wide receivers is just catching a ball in rhythm, catching a ball in stride. You're not getting that a whole lot like we used to get. And hopefully that improves moving forward, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, if you want to get that yak, you need to hit people in stride on a run. It's exactly what happened there. Jalen Samuels in open space is a pretty dangerous weapon. That's one thing he did all throughout college, no matter who he's lined up against. He's a nightmare to bring down. Can make people miss, and when you do get your hands on him, it's not going to go down easy.
Yakety yak, that wasn't a sack. Okay, moving on. Sorry. Pittsburgh gets moved to a third and five.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm tired, man.
I'm sorry, okay. You guys had to witness that.
That's okay. Third and five, Mason Rudolph throws a dead duck.
Yeah, that's his worst throw. That's his worst throw of the game.
That was absolutely
his worst throw. He just missed him out of bounds. But if you're going to miss him out of bounds, man, it can't get picked off there.
You're not wrong. That is a good perception there. Then we have a big third and 11. You got to hope for Pittsburgh to get a stop here. But they didn't force a fourth down. You know what they did? They tipped the ball and picked it off. They forced a turnover, something they did phenomenally last week, even though we lost. Or maybe it wasn't last week. Whenever we played the 49ers.
2 weeks ago, yeah.
2 weeks ago. Five turnovers.
And here it is again, the value of Minka Fitzpatrick.
Oh, absolutely.
So Minka has great coverage on the play, forces it to be batted up into the air, and there's Cam Kelly. Just plucks it right out of the air, easy play, and Pittsburgh's got some great field position.
Yeah, that was the best starting field position of the season, I want to say. Cam Kelly.
Had to be.
Had to be. Cam Kelly's coming in doing great work whenever he's on the field. We saw him a lot more in this game than we have in previous.
Yeah, they went with a more of a dime look this week, which is something that they did a lot during the preseason. But you weren't really sure how this was going to play out. Was it going to be Cam Kelly? Was it going to be Jordan Dangerfield? You know, in the preseason, you had Sean Davis. Everything's just been kind of mixed up. They finally brought the dime back. They used Cam Kelly on it. Other than one play earlier in the game where he just kind of lost track of down and distance, he seemed to play real well the rest of the game. And this interception has him trending up, in my opinion.
Absolutely. Got to love to see it. Got to hope for those Madden rating boosts, and we'll see what happens. So on a third and six, Mason Rudolph calls Deontay Johnson in motion, and unfortunately he gets sacked, but we do have a kicker named Chris Boswell.
Oh, thank God.
Who is still perfect on the year after this kick. That's 41-yard attempt that goes roughly straight down the middle.
Boz for president.
Boz for president. Get a good kickoff. It was a... I say good. It was caught at the 11-yard line. But anyways, Boz kicked off, almost returned for a touchdown, but luckily Boz was there to make the stop. Very easily could have been another 7 points or 6 points up for Baltimore.
Boz for president.
Boz for president. That might be actually Secretary of Defense or something. Who knows? That was a good tackle, man. Maybe you can just run the whole White House. We'll see. So, I'm sorry, guys. It's a crazy day. Anyways, Lamar Jackson gets sacked again on second and seven.
Now we start to see the Steeler defense come alive. Baltimore had really kind of moved it at their will, honestly, for the most part, previous to this. So you get the turnover on the last drive, Cam Kelly with the awesome interception. Now we start getting Lamar Jackson on the ground and getting some sacks.
Gotta love to see it. Gotta love it.
You gotta pressure a quarterback. I don't care who the quarterback is, how experienced he is, how accurate he is, how mobile he is. You gotta hit him and make them think twice about things. Start getting them on the ground, good things happen.
Nifty fact of the day, T.J. Watt, this was his ninth straight home game with a sack.
Wow.
Nine straight. You got to wonder what it is about Heinz Field and that that music or that atmosphere that gets him pumped up. Ninth straight home game with a sack. I will take that out of all of our entire defense.
I bet you it's a pregame meal at Permane Brothers.
Sounds good. You can shop at Permane Brothers and get food anytime you want. This is not an ad, but we will take it. We love Permane's.
How can you not?
So we get actually on the very next play, 3rd and 13, Lamar is sacked again, this time by none other.
Vince Williams. This is one of the things we were missing thus far into the season. So you had Mark Barron and Devin Bush most of the season, that middle linebacker. Devin Bush got a sack last week. It was nice to see some pressure finally this week with Vince Williams back in the lineup. He gets a sack. It's what he's known for. He's a run stuffer. He's an excellent run blitzer and pass blitzer right down the middle. Just send him loose, man. He's going to get some sacks. He's going to get some quarterback pressures. He's going to tackle running backs on the other side of the line of scrimmage. Vince played real well this game.
Absolutely. Mason Rudolph on a 2nd and 3 makes a bullet pass to the right. I believe it was Smith-Schuster that came. Sorry, James Washington came back to get it. Phenomenal ability to use his body against the defender to kind of almost like a rebound, make sure that the defender couldn't get to that ball. Great job getting the first down. On a 2nd and 10, Deontay Johnson in motion from the right to the left. Mason Rudolph makes a bullet pass that gets knocked up and almost picked off. Very scary moment. I thought we were going to have a turnover. I thought we were going to waste an opportunity there. But thankfully, we didn't, at least on that play. Big 3rd and 10. Mason Rudolph goes long. We've seen this a couple times so far this year. Quarterback's going long to Holton, who is 28 years old, but probably one of the fastest guys on our team. Just overthrew him by about a yard and a half. Hoping that one of these times we make this long, deep threat work with Holton, because it could be once a game that he gets these long passes, and it's a field changer. You change positions very quickly.
Cody, I'm going out on a limb. I'm calling it this week against the Chargers. It's happening. The Chargers have their two starting safeties out, Derwin James and the other gentleman. I don't remember his name right now.
We don't care.
But that's going to really make them susceptible to the deep ball. If they're not giving Johnny Holton respect, I bet you they connect this week. Big play. Put it on your calendar. It's going to happen.
Well, you heard it here first, folks. Steelers by the Lake, James Strong calling it. Holton, deep connection. It's going to happen. Keep an eye out on it. Sunday Night Football. Here we go. Continuing on. That was a big 3rd and 10. We didn't get it. Unfortunately, punted the ball. Gave it right back to the Baltimore Ravens. At this point, it's still 10-17. We're still in the game. About a minute left before halftime. Lamar Jackson goes down with another sack. He tried to flip it out afterwards. But with all this quarterback safety stuff going on in the league, it got called down, so that counts another sack.
Yeah, they blew the play dead, and it's a good move because Cam Hayward's got him. And if you don't blow that play dead, Cam Hayward has to basically pile drive him into the ground. It's your job as the pass rusher. If you've got the quarterback and they're not whistling it dead, you got to get him on the ground. If you outweigh him by 100 pounds like Cam Hayward does, it's not going to go well for that quarterback. So good move by the referees to protect the quarterback on the play. Cam Hayward gets another sack.
Yep. You also had Vince Williams and Bud Dupree flooring it in at him, so I'm sure that's why they decided to flag it or wave it dead. Because,
yeah,
because
he's going to get his
he was going to get leveled. It was not going to be pretty. So anyways, 2nd down after the sack on 1st down, and Lamar Jackson takes a nice little out throw that is, once again, we couldn't force a 3rd down on this play either because we picked it off again.
Beautiful play by Mike Hilton. This is kind of where he thrives, where he's at his best. Short area quickness is his game. It was a zone coverage. He had the short guy who tried to throw it over his head, but Mike got up there and got it.
Yep, so we get the ball back, got down the field into field goal position. Or sorry, didn't get the ball back, but we intercepted the ball. We're already in field goal position. We made it work before halftime that we kicked the field goal, 13-17.
Boz for president.
So, after halftime, Ravens with the ball, 2nd and 6. Not sure who this is. It was 35. I don't know if it's Dixon or I don't know his name.
Yeah, it's the backup.
The backup running back for Baltimore Edmonds, got a good maybe. Run. Maybe.
Edwards.
Sounds right. 3rd and 13. Hey, we got to stop on 3rd down.
There it is.
That's what we're all about. But they go for it on 4th down. And when I say I go for it, they lined up at the ball. And probably weren't going to snap it, but
rookie mistake.
Rookie's a little excited.
Yep. So Cam Hayward really got in his face after this play and let him know. Baltimore had absolutely no intention of snapping this ball. They were just up there because it's 4th and 6 to see if they could get somebody to jump off and get a free 5-yard penalty. Unfortunately, Devin Bush bit. He wasn't the only one. Bud Dupree standing right next to him. Just Devin bit a little harder. He jumped all the way across. The lineman appropriately responded, which sucks.
You say appropriately.
But, I mean, it's what you're taught to do. It's not that I want him to do that because he's the opposing lineman. But it's what you're taught to do. If the guy comes across, you move, forcing the referees to make a decision, and they have to call the defender at that point.
Yep. I don't agree with the I don't want to complain about the refs or anything because this is we've seen this all over the NFL. But the defender has the right and has the opportunity to try and get back onside before the ball is snapped. It's one thing if you see that and you want to snap the ball. I think that it should be called encroachment or offsides or neutral zone infraction only if the offensive line has a natural reaction to go up and block, not just say, hey, this guy moved. But maybe we'll see that happen in future years of the NFL. We'll see what that changes. But I know in years past, it was discussed the defender has the opportunity to get back and get set. By this happening the way it's been happening, you remove that opportunity. So it is what it is. It didn't change the outcome of the game. They did convert the 4th and 1 at that point because they got the 5-yard penalty.
Yep, QB sneak right up the middle. Pittsburgh's pretty susceptible to that, unfortunately, being a 3-4 defense.
Jackson even fumbled the ball, though.
Yeah, that's the most frustrating part on that. You hope that someone's going to get in there and disrupt it, but no one did. So 1st and 10.
Yep, so 1st and 10, and Devin Bush goes from rookie mistake number 1 to rookie highlight number 1 from this game. Had a beautiful, beautiful interception from the tight end. It basically just rolled off the tight end's hands on a long, deep pass down the seam and went right into his arms. Could have been called back. I was a little worried about it. But it was, I mean, it was a beautiful catch. He caught the ball. The ball, got Let's readjusted it when it hit the ground, but he had the ball.
Devin Bush ripped it right out of his hands. This is a catch ripped out of his hands by Devin Bush and an interception. He never lost possession. He pinched it between his forearm and his chest. No, he didn't have his hand on it at that point, but no, he didn't lose the ball either. So retained possession, interception by Devin Bush. Man's starting to become a turnover machine.
Yep, so 3rd and 11, we got ourselves backed up on the 12-yard line of our own side of the field. Mason Rudolph makes a decent pump fake, scrambles, gets out of a sack, dodges another attack from a defender, runs to the left, and makes a little hop pass to none other than James Washington for the first down. Unfortunately, it was on this play that Mason Rudolph was knocked unconscious. The moment he was hit, he was out. You saw his ankle and his ankle just folded over when it made contact with the ground because he had no control over it, and it was bad.
Yeah, kind of an ugly situation. It didn't look like a dirty hit, but the one thing that you have to keep in mind on the reference on this is Mason jumped when he threw the ball. He's 6'4". The defender hitting him is 5'11", and still hit him helmet to helmet. That's not proper technique. Tackling wise, so I can't defend the defender on this. It didn't look ugly. He didn't lower his helmet and hit him with the crown of his helmet or anything, but he clearly was going after his head. There's no denying that. Otherwise, how are you going to hit him in the head when you're 5 inches shorter? The most frustrating part for me on this play is that it literally took him laying on the ground unconscious for 3 or 4 minutes before the refs decided, well, I guess maybe we should throw a flag on this. Come on. He clearly gets hit helmet to helmet on the play. You got to have a little bit more responsibility on this. With all the emphasis on player safety, you got to be all over that.
Yeah, the other unfortunate thing about this, and not to complain about Steelers staff or anything like that, the medical cart didn't work. So he literally had to walk off the field with the help of some trainers and some teammates. Can't have that happening on this level. You shouldn't have that happen in any level or stage of sports, but especially on the big screen.
Yeah, and it's embarrassing because they drove it out on there, and then they couldn't get it to run. And what I'm hearing afterwards is that it was actually just user error. So whoever jumped behind a wheel just didn't know how to run the dang thing. So you get six people pushing the thing off for no reason. And Mason walking off the field for no reason.
Correct.
After that kind of concussion, there's no reason he should have been doing that. Now, granted, he had somebody under each arm helping him off the field and then walking him off to the tunnel. And when he got to the tunnel, the other cart was there, so they took him back all the way to the locker room to get examined in the second cart. But just an embarrassing situation all around. Got to do a better job protecting the players than that.
So what does this mean for the Steelers? We lost Big Ben. We now are down Mason Rudolph in this game. Duck Dynasty, Mr.
Devlin Hodges.
Devlin Hodges comes in. We've been raving about him ever since preseason. We loved what we saw. We loved when we picked him back up. And now we get to see him live in a regular season game, down 4 points in a close game against a rival team with 5.5 minutes or almost 6 minutes left in the third quarter. Comes in on a 3rd and 8, makes a bullet pass to Deontay Johnson, who fumbles the ball out of bounds. Thankfully, it was a completed pass first. He made a great throw on a 3rd and 8.
3rd and 8, that's awesome.
Coming in, he did what he was supposed to do. He balled out this game. I just want to say it's important to note that the rating for each quarterback, Jackson's rating at the end of this game was 54.9. Mason Rudolph's was 100.2. And Devlin Hodges had a 98.1 rating at the end of this game. That is phenomenal from a rookie quarterback who is getting his first taste of real regular season football in the middle of an already going on game. Phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, big jump from Samford University. But while he was at Samford, he broke all kinds of records, broke every record that Steve McNair set. So that's really saying something.
Is that it's like 53 or 54 records that he holds?
It's stupid
it's
how many
insane.
Records.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he threw for almost 9,000 yards while he was there. Holds a bunch of FBS records.
You know what? I think I have another record that he should beat.
What's that?
Most times as a special guest on Steelers by Larry.
Oh,
podcast.
God, that'd be awesome.
That would be phenomenal. We're gonna tweet at him later. We'll Devlin. Discuss it. If you're listening, come join us. Join the dark side.
The duck side?
The duck side? Duck Dynasty? What?
Let's go.
He can just come in and he'll just be the starting music and he can just duck call for us.
So here we go. 2nd and 6. Pittsburgh's got the ball. Devlin pump. It's a play action fake. Hits Vance over to the left hand side. And Vance gets it all the way down to about the 1 yard line. I thought he was getting in on
this. This should have been Devlin's first touchdown pass in the NFL. Oh my
so
gosh.
So close.
So close.
But hey, great pass. Vance, great effort, almost get in the end zone. And I got to talk about this play right here, Cody. Last week, if you remember, there was a failed fourth down conversion.
Oh, I remember.
That I went on a rant about just improper personnel.
I remember.
Yeah, so they had last week, 4th and 1. You had Juju all the way to the top of the field. You had Banner out there as a tight end. You had two other tight ends. No fullback because there wasn't a healthy one to be had. And, of course, it got blown up in the backfield. This time, we've got a proper goal line formation. And who's lined up as the fullback? Tyson Alualu. Who did I say I wanted to see lined up as a fullback? Well, I said Javon Hargrave.
You said Javon Hargrave. But you said a defensive lineman.
I said I want to see a defensive lineman. And it's there it is. Defensive lineman at fullback. You got your tight ends. You got your extra offensive linemen. Just go battering Ram and go get this touchdown, and that's exactly what they did.
And you know what Alualu did on this play, right? He stopped the blitzing or the safety or the corner, whoever it was, coming on the outside that easily could have got Connor's feet and wrapped him up in the backfield, forcing him to not gain the full yard that we needed for the touchdown. That's exactly what he did on this play. He slowed him up just enough that Connor was able to get in the end zone. That's exactly what you said was going to happen. And what can we say? We know football. Throw it. Drop the mic. We're done. Whatever. Just kidding. The game's not over.
Tell your friends. Give us 5 stars. And, oh, yeah, thank you for all the folks who gave us some 5-star reviews this last week. There was a number of them. We had Joe from Tennessee, Kendall from North Carolina.
And Anthony from Edinburgh University.
Well done, folks. We appreciate the support.
Absolutely. So 2nd and 7, another tight end pass across the middle. Can't stop it. We struggle with tight ends. We always have. I'm hoping to see something different happen, but we'll see what happens. On a 3rd and 7, pass to Snead, first down. On a 1st and 10, Lamar Jackson motions Snead over from the right side to the left side, or sorry, left side from right side, motions another guy, and then a pass over the middle to Snead. We try to take a low blow at him, and it doesn't work, and then we get him tackled. I was really annoyed with seeing Snead in this game.
Yeah, Mike Hilton's struggling on that one. At least he had the interception earlier in the play. He's just kind of up and down in games. Not real consistent.
Yeah, so now we get to the 4th quarter. We are up 20-17 at this point. Very excited. Devlin Hodges came in and played great. Vince Williams gets a bad line in on Lamar Jackson, taking a scramble. Almost gets beat on the play, but he does get beat on the play. Let's clarify. Vince Williams did not stand a chance. Over-pursuing. Knowing that he had help behind him, over-pursuing.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate part. You would hope on that play like that. Terrell Edmonds over-pursued on the play, too, and it just gives me flashbacks from last year where there was a play that, like, 4 guys over-pursued and nobody had the backside. You got to work as teammates, communicate, hey, I got this side, you get that side kind of thing. Somehow you got to contain him. You should have easily had him 3-4 yards short of the first down. Instead, he cuts back, gets past both of them, and gets the first.
Yeah, it's one thing you don't think of. You think about it with basketball, with communication on the court. But you got to wonder at this point with Edmonds coming up saying, you got to yell to your teammates saying, stay left, I got him, stay left, I got him. You got the edge, force him back inside or outside. He's tackled at the line of scrimmage. Just didn't happen on this play. Picked up the 1st down, 2nd and 5. Lamar was very excited for this. So we get them to a 3rd and 12, though. We do get them backed up, and they do a pass over the middle. It is caught short. Thank you, Minka Fitzpatrick. So happy for the pickup from the Miami Dolphins. Justin Tucker comes on, kicks the field goal. We're all tied, knotted up at 20-20. I don't know what there is to be said. The defense played well and made stops. I feel like every time we play Baltimore, it comes down to a field goal. So we got to get them out of field goal range at some point.
Done. Yeah, so here we go. Now Pittsburgh's got the ball. First play right over the middle. Who's that? Juju he hit on this one?
Juju Smith-Schuster, baby. Yep. Beautiful throw.
Devlin was really aggressive, throwing the ball down the field, not little dump-off passes. I mean, he had some dump-offs, but he had no problem just lighting it up and going downfield on it. Got to have that to win games. He shows it right here to get a nice big gain.
And he had a guy on him, too. A guy was falling down by his feet during the throw. You got to imagine. I mean, it was a little to the right, plus he had a guy coming on the side. The thing that I want to note about this play is this ball was thrown so perfectly, because if it was thrown to where Juju was running, Juju would have been lit up. It was thrown slightly behind him in a position that Juju could turn around, make the catch without getting blown up and possibly injured. Phenomenal throw. Love it.
Throw the man open and keep him safe.
Yep. Devlin Hodges on a 2nd and 4. Little play action play goes right over the middle to none other than Juju Smith-Schuster. He's getting involved, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really excited to see it.
And generally, good things happen when Juju gets involved.
You telling us we got some good Juju when Juju gets good?
Yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time. All right. 3rd and 17, backed up big time. Devlin Hodges makes a quick pass to Deontay Johnson. Deontay Johnson just does a little move. We get about 5 yards on the play. 4th and 6, we have to punt it. Barry, man, this was a beautiful punt. And who was it? Was it Artie Burns? I believe it was Artie Burns that does a phenomenal job catching the ball at the 1-yard line.
Yep, Artie's best play of the season thus far. Did a good job getting down there. Did not lose track of the ball and downed him right at the 1. Beautiful play.
Absolutely. 2nd and 10, we get them backed up. Lamar Jackson makes a quick throw that gets knocked down by Vince Williams.
Vince is good in coverage is what you're saying?
Apparently, this is news to me, but I'm loving to see it.
So he is better than Mark Barron in run defense, better than Mark Barron blitzing the quarterback, and better than Mark Barron covering receivers. I think we know what the next move is here.
He's definitely better than Mark Barron when it comes to just keeping up on the play and just the drive to finish the play, that's for sure. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see. Our guess is that we're going to see a lot more of Vince Williams and Devin Bush in the play. You might see Barron in a big nickel package or something, but we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out. So we get them to a 3rd down, a 3rd and 10 from their own 1-yard line. You'd imagine that they'd try to do something just to get away from the goal line, which they did. They tried to do a quick run play, which I thought for sure we stopped them in the end zone for a safety. I understand why Mike Tomlin didn't challenge it. They called it at the inches yard line. So that we did not get the safety, and Baltimore would wind up punting it back to us with roughly 6 minutes left in the game. Now, this punt return was, we've discussed, the best return we've seen from Ryan Switzer as a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Fielded it at his own 42, made it back to the other 45 for him. That's basically like taking it back to the house. So excellent job. The whole reason you've got him back there in that situation is because you know he can field it cleanly. It's just a bonus if he gets a nice return like that.
Absolutely. Huge field position to start off this drive, 2nd and 9. Devlin Hodges does a beautiful job at extending the play, realizes the defender has his back turned to him, and just takes off. For roughly a gain of 21, 22 yards. It was a phenomenal run by Devlin Hodges.
I think he was laughing and smiling on his
He
way
must have
bounce,
been.
Too.
He was bouncing up and down. I mean, dude, I didn't realize he was that mobile.
I do remember in the preseason seeing him take off once or twice and thinking he was a lot quicker than I expected him to be. He shows it again right there.
Yep. 3rd and 5. He does a scary little pass to Jalen Samuels. It was caught, thankfully. Did get a loss of 2 on the play, roughly. So it turned out to be like a 4th and 7. 33-yard attempt for Chris Boswell. And Bos for president.
Bos for president.
Bos all the way. Campaigning around the world, specifically Pittsburgh.
And here we go. Back to Baltimore having the ball. Lamar Jackson has been shotgun. Dumps it over to the left-hand side to his running back. And he doesn't really get much of anything at all. Nice stop.
Unfortunately, there was a flag on the play. This was a joke. I don't know what else to say. I understand protecting the quarterback. Ola Danny destroyed his man one-on-one and goes in for a sack. Hits Lamar Jackson at the waist, just below the waist. His chest roughly hits at the just above the knees.
Yeah, so there was a play exactly like this in the Chiefs game that didn't get called for roughing the passer, and the reason is because this is not roughing the passer. Wraps him up at the waist, slides down to his knees, and takes him down. That is a textbook tackle. The problem here is interpretation of the referees. If they actually would have read the rule book, they would see that in order for that to be roughing the passer, you have to hit him below the knees to start. Not hit him at the waist and slide down. Got to hit him below the knees to begin. Yeah. Awful play call by the referees. And it was 3rd down on the play. They stopped him about 8 yards short of the 1st down. This gives them a free 1st down, and they've got life, and there's 2.5 minutes left in the game.
Yeah, so unfortunately that's what happened. They got the free 1st down. On 1st and 10, they do a quick pass over to the middle to Snead. Easy 1st down for them. Was all but wide open. He had some key people around him, but not anywhere near making a tackle or ability to stop the ball from being completed. They run the ball, almost get a 1st down, or they might have. I'm not sure. 2nd and 7. They move the ball anyways. Lamar Jackson gets wrapped up again by none other than the one, the only.
Gravedigger.
Javon Hargrave.
Jay Wobble.
Jay Wobble?
Yeah, that's what his
Gravedigger Jay
him.
Wobble? Oh, man.
His teammates call him Jay Wobble because Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down.
Oh, my goodness. Anyways, gotta love this. 4th quarter, 18 seconds left, 3rd and 10. Lamar Jackson goes deep, throws the ball out of the end zone. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. So now 14 seconds on the clock. Justin Tucker back to kick the long 48-yard field goal attempt. He was lined perfectly right up with the middle of the goalpost and kicks it just to the right, but he made it. So now we're in overtime.
Overtime, here it is. I mean, the defense really has done their job on this game so far.
3 turnovers, but 5 sacks.
Yeah, so here we go. First play in overtime. You've got Lamar Jackson. He's in shotgun. And what does Pittsburgh do? They just drape all over him. TJ almost gets him, then Bud Dupree cleans it up and gets him to the ground for a sack.
Yep.
The Steelers' defense is on fire. They know, and we have to talk about the decision that Mike Tomlin made.
Absolutely.
To kick the ball off. A lot of people didn't like that.
I didn't like it. I understand it, but I didn't like it.
After the game, when he was asked about it, He made it pretty straightforward answer on it. He said, did you see what they were doing this game? They were kicking it 4.5 seconds of hang time, hanging it all the way up in the air, and we were getting back to the 15-yard line at best on our kick returns. Why in the world would I sign up for that, especially with your third-string quarterback? He's absolutely right. Defense comes out on the field, plays awesome, and gives the Steelers good field position instead.
Yep, we stopped them on 3rd and 15. They wound up punting it to us. We got the ball. Our starting field goal position was roughly at the 30, I want to say.
Yep, 30-yard line, a lot better than the 15, which is where they were getting it on kick returns.
So Devlin Hodges back on a 2nd and 5, makes a beautiful pass to Juju Smith-Schuster. Unfortunately, just like Marlon Humphrey tried earlier in the game to punch the ball out, this time he successfully punches the ball out. The ball bounces, looks like it's going out of bounds. Baltimore Ravens player takes a bad angle on it. Devlin Hodges, unfortunately, takes a bad angle on it because of the bounce. And the Ravens pick it up. The same guy that punched it out picks it up. Ravens get the ball at the, 35-yard line. All that matters was they were deep in our territory.
And, folks, don't get down on Juju on this.
Absolutely not.
This is the second fumble of his career. He's in his third year. He's had 2 fumbles. That's it.
I understand they were both in pivotal games at pivotal moments. But, again, he's young. He's going to learn. Expect growth from here. This is nothing to be concerned about. It sucks for this game, yes, but Juju will come back and Juju will be better. So we get them to a 3rd and 5. They get a crazy play that totally broke down, didn't work, but they wound up getting back roughly to the line of scrimmage, maybe gained a yard. So 4th and 4, 46-yard attempt from the left hash for Justin Tucker in overtime to win the game. And I tell you what, man, I thought this was going to miss. This looked like it was going to go barely wide left, and it just hooked perfectly to go inside the uprights, and that was how this game ended, unfortunately.
Yeah, so here you are now. The Steelers are 1-4, and other than the game against the Patriots, they lost by 2, by 3, and by 4. So that's why I'm not in a situation where I'm in panic mode. They've got to win. They've got to start stringing some wins together, period, where the season will be over very, very quickly. But they're playing competitive in all these games. So that's at least something to look forward to on it. Unfortunately, there was a few significant injuries in this game, obviously. Mason Rudolph with a nasty concussion injury. At this point, it's Thursday, and he has been practicing a little bit already. I don't know. There's no word on whether or not he's out of concussion protocol. I pray they don't play him this week. There's a bye week the week after. That should be plenty of time, having 2 weeks off in a row to fully recover from this injury. I don't want to see them rush him back, even if he does clear concussion protocol. Jamelin Samuels, unfortunately, had a knee injury that required a scope. So probably, if I had to guess, something like a meniscus tear. That's a normal procedure. They're saying he's going to be out about a month. That's the normal recovery time for that kind of operation. And then James Washington injured his shoulder. So, unfortunately, some pretty key components to the team are injured and will miss this upcoming game. I'm not worried about Devlin Hodges. He really looked good. He was aggressive. I think he's going to be one of those guys that he's going to have a lot of touchdowns but also have a few interceptions to go with it because he's just not scared. Nothing's too big for him. But we really wanted to get into the upcoming game against the Chargers here as well. Because the Chargers are no juggernaut at this point. They're 2-3 in the season and looking very beatable.
Yeah, unfortunately, they beat us in every area as far as yards is concerned. Total yards on offense, total yards on defense allowed, offensive passing allowed, offensive rushing allowed. Pittsburgh's had a bad year. We understand that. We've played well in moments and then played horrible to end games and just to finish things out. But that's not to say that that's going to be the case for the entire year. The one thing that we have them beaten is turnover differential.
Pittsburgh and sacks.
And sacks. You're not wrong. Pittsburgh is 5th in turnover differential. Pittsburgh is +5 with the number 1 and 2 team being +7 and the number 3 and 4 team being +6. We are 2 turnover differential behind the number 1 team. We're playing phenomenal. We're not turning the ball over too much on offense, and we're getting a ton of turnovers on defense. You have to imagine that's going to continue to happen. So I'm excited to see what we do this game. Los Angeles Chargers are 21st in the league in turnover differential with -2. So they've turned the ball over two more times than they have gotten turnovers.
With the injuries in the secondary that the Chargers have right now, there really should be some open passing lanes. And I look forward to seeing the Steelers continue their ways with getting after the quarterback. They're actually trending in a balding situation at this stage with an average of 3.75 sacks per game thus far. You multiply that out by 16 games, you got 60 sacks and two bald dudes on a podcast.
Granted, one of them is already half bald, but we'll ignore that for now.
Wow, man.
Much love for you, my friend.
It's fair, though.
So, like I said, Pittsburgh's 29th in total yards per game on offense. The Chargers are 13th. Pittsburgh defensive yard allowed is 16th. They're right in the middle of the pack. Chargers are 11th. Offensive pass yards per game, Chargers are 5th. Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen and company are doing phenomenal. Pittsburgh's 25th. With the quarterback controversy, it doesn't surprise me. I'm not overly concerned. We got to get people in rhythm. That's it. Pass yards allowed, Pittsburgh's 12th. They're not too far out of the top 10, and the Chargers are only 8th. There's only a 14-point differential between the two. Not as big of a concern there as you might imagine. Same thing with offensive rushing yards. Pittsburgh's way in the back of the pack with 67 rush yards per game, but the Chargers only have 89. That's only a 12-point difference, or excuse me, 22-yard difference. Not huge. Nothing to be too concerned about. We'll have to see how they play the game. And then defensive rushing yards allowed, the Chargers are at 18th and Pittsburgh's at 21st. So we allow a few more rushing yards than them, but it's only 6 yards more. It's a close matchup on paper, I'll tell you.
And Pittsburgh's trending in the right direction the last few weeks as far as the defense. Giving up a lot less yards, getting a lot more sacks and turnovers. If you continue this trend of more sacks and turnovers, at some point in time, the wins are just going to keep on rolling in.
But hold up. Did you hear something about our lovely coach, Mike Tomlin?
Yeah, so there's a rumor going around here. Apparently, the Redskins kind of leaked a short list of potential head coach candidates that they're interested in. Leading the pack of them is the Steelers' current head coach, Mike Tomlin. Sounds like tampering to me. Also, apparently, there was a private jet in Pittsburgh spotted with Washington Redskins stuff all over it.
Yep. We don't know how legitimate the source is. I did see a picture of it. It looked like it was from Snapchat. The Redskins logo was on the tail of the plane, and the little hashtag geotag said Pittsburgh International Airport. I know that it's possible to change your geotag location on phones, whether someone was playing a crazy trick or not. Washington's definitely interested. It's been discussed.
Yeah, and you have to wonder. Like, I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan personally. I think he's an excellent coach. Obviously, the season isn't going that great. There's a lot going on with possible changes as far as the general manager in the future. If Washington were to put a proposal out there to trade for Mike Tomlin, maybe you could use this as a way to rebuild the team. You never say never. That's my opinion on it. I don't want to see Mike Tomlin go. But Daniel Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, is known for overpaying for players. I'm sure he would overpay for a premier head coach like Mike Tomlin. And, you know, I don't know, man. Maybe he's willing to throw like 4 or 5 first-round picks out there. I might entertain that.
Yeah, I would love that too. So, moving on, I mean, we'll have to see what happens with the future from that. We'll see how that all plays out.
I don't think anything this season, but it'll be interesting to watch after the season's over.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. We only have Mike Tomlin in for the rest of this year, and then his contract is up. We'll see what happens with that. But we'll keep you guys in the loop. So keep track. Be excited for this game coming up this week against the Chargers. And then we go into a bye, a much-needed rest to recoup, re-energize, and get our mindset right for the rest of the year.
Yeah, and then the Dolphins after that. So if they can get this win against the Chargers, which they really need to get, you got to like their chances against the Dolphins, and let's get a winning streak going. Here we go.
Absolutely. So thank you guys for listening. We appreciate the 5-star reviews, the follows, the likes, everything. Be sure to like and follow on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram @Steelers by the Lake. Until next time, this is your host, James and Cody, signing off.